study of a great book. I think it'll be a great encouragement and a challenge to all of you. A book of prophecy, a book of history, a book of challenge. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, I want to take a look tonight at verses 1 through 10. 1 through 12. I want you to understand, number one, that Daniel was a contemporary. In other words, these men lived during the years that Daniel lived. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Ezra. Keep in mind, Daniel is a book of hope for the Jews. Now, they didn't really understand it at the beginning, at the time. But when God gave the book of Daniel to Daniel and he wrote down many of his visions and dreams, then you can see now as you look back the accuracy that there's only one person that could have given this information to Daniel, and that was God himself. You'll be able to see from this book some faith builders, some things that would cause you to know there's a God in heaven. But I want you to tonight just look at a little bit about Daniel. He is called Daniel the Beloved. If you have your Bible, notice if you would, just take your finger, flip over to Daniel chapter 10. I want you to see this. I'll give you a very brief quiz. Daniel chapter 10. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 11. Verse 19, Daniel 10. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, in verse 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, and be ye strong. You'll notice in two places, God calls Daniel beloved. Can anybody name the only other person in Scripture that's named that same term, beloved? John the Beloved, we call him that, but someone that God called him. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you understand tonight that, the Lord, I'm sure there were other people that were beloved. John the Beloved, he was close to the heart of the Lord. But Daniel is in a very elect group, a very select group of people. Daniel, God looked at and said, well, Michael, the archangel said, you are very beloved. But God himself said to his own son, this is my beloved son. You can see the closeness that Daniel had with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that Daniel, I want you to see the way he started out. I want all of us to understand, especially young people tonight, the way he started out. He was a young man that grew into an age. But as he grew older, he grew wiser, more godly, more determined to walk with the Lord. And that's what I want everybody in this room. Too many Christians start out good and end up weak. Or they start out good, have a dip, and then come back. Young people, I want you to be able to start out strong and keep growing every day of your life. No reason for you to have a wasted years. Daniel had none of those. But it could look that way. And I want you to notice tonight, Daniel chapter 1, I want you to see a few things, really three things about Daniel. He lived a life of privilege. Notice if you would in verse number 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. So Nebuchadnezzar sends his troops to take over Jerusalem. Take over the Jews. And you'll notice, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So now this is a promise that God said, if you don't straighten up Israel, you see the minor prophets saying, if you don't straighten up your life, I'm going to give you over to judgment. And this is the judgment that came. They lost their identity as a nation. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 2, and with part of the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of the Lord and which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. God even allowed his own vessels, vessels that were set aside for him, to be taken. Notice, if you would, in verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he would bring forth certain of the children of Israel. And notice the two groups, of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored. So there are three groups, and Daniel was one of those three groups. Notice, if you would, he could have been a king's son. He could have been of the kingly line. You'll also notice of the princes. He could have been of the princes, but he was one of those two. But on top of that, he was well favored and had no blemish. In other words, he had a great reputation. He was known for being a quality young man. And you'll notice, if you would, he had the best of everything. He was privileged. As a king or prince's son, he had the best clothes. He had the best shoes. He had the best animals. If he were to ride a horse, he would have the best ones in all the land. Tonight, I want us all to understand this room. We are just like Daniel. And tonight, if you can, let's picture ourselves being in Daniel's shoes. All of us. He's privileged. Anybody in this room say we're not privileged? You go to your house, you live in a home that has a thermostat in it that controls the temperature and keeps it a certain degree. You have foodstuffs that are in the refrigerator that are kept for days on end that would spoil without a refrigerator. We have places for things in our homes. We have places for shoes. We have places to hang up our clothes. We have clothes, multiple clothes. Daniel was a young man of privilege. There were a few things that Daniel could not have if he really wanted it. He had the best of education. And you know what? We in this country have the privilege of great education if we choose. No one in this room is shut out of a college because of necessarily where you're from or because there's not any. There are countries around the world where there are no colleges, where people have no hope to even learn to read or write. He's sitting here tonight, so I won't mention his name, but he was so disappointed when his brothers and sisters could read and write, and he said, mentioned to his grandmother, said, "Will I be able to read? Will you teach me to read?" Now, when you think about being 4 years old and being taught to read, that is a privilege. Do you realize you in this room, you can all read and write? Do you understand the privilege that is? To be able to go in an airport and go into a newsstand and pull up a newspaper and find out news all around the world because you can read. Daniel was one of privilege. Could read. He could do math. You might say, "Well, I don't like to do math." Well, you can do math because you can go into the store and you can look at an item and you can figure out how much it costs and look in your pocket and see if you have enough to match it. That's a privilege. Daniel was privileged. As a king or prince's son, he had the best of everything. Do you understand what that can do to people? It can cause you to think more of yourself than you should. So all of us in this room are people of privilege just like Daniel. Oh, maybe we're not congressmen's children or we're not diplomatic children, but we are all people of privilege because we live in this country. We can read and write. We can go to the grocery store. We can get a job at McDonald's. We can get a job and make a little bit of money. And we drive around in cars. And many a young person, how many of you have the hope of when you get to be 16 years old, you can drive. How many of you are looking forward to getting a driver's license? Let me see your hand. Okay? How many of you are looking forward to getting a driver's license? How many of you don't want to drive? That's what I thought. Everybody wants to drive. Okay? How many of you have the hope of one of these days having a car that you can drive that's yours? See your hand. There are places around the world that kids have no hope for that. They have no dream of that. Their dream is to have enough food for today. You are all children of privilege. Now, I teased Brother Brock about his tie, and I teased Brother Joe about his tie, but the fact of the matter is, all three of us on the platform are people of privilege, because I went to my closet and I picked the one that I wanted. How many of you picked the tie or the shirt or the dress that you wanted this morning? You picked it. It wasn't the only one in your closet. Raise your hand. People of privilege. Daniel was a young man of privilege. But he somehow did not let the privilege get to his heart to where he got angry without it. Or he got bitter at other people that had more. He took privilege in stride. And could I challenge all of us in this room? Take privilege in stride. Take it for what it is. It is a gift of God. It's not something earned or deserved. How many of you chose your birthplace? You could have been born in Soroti, Uganda, or Manaus, Brazil. You could have been born in some faraway town in China where you would have had none of this privilege. And who chose you to be born where you were? He did. You're people of privilege. Daniel was a young man of privilage. And then, now keep in mind, if you can imagine, our lives are the way they are. We'll go to the refrigerator tonight after church, or we'll drop by someplace, and maybe we'll go to the refrigerator and get us a little bit of bread and make us a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or we'll get us a pizza and put it in the oven, and we'll fix a pizza, or we'll do something. We'll get something to eat. Nobody in this room is worried about if I'm going to have something to eat tonight or tomorrow. Nobody is. It's people of privilege. One day, Daniel gets up, and there's a group of unrecognized people around the city. Hey, Dad, what are those people? Well, son, those are Babylonians. They're going to, no matter what happens, son, just trust the Lord. Now, son, no matter what happens, realize that the Lord loves you. But Dad, what's going on? They can't come in and just take over our city. Their king is Nebuchadnezzar. He's known all over the world. They've taken over nations just like this easily. And they're probably going to take our city. I don't know what's going to happen to your mom and I. They have a reputation for killing a lot of people in the city, especially leaders. And, you know, I'm a prince, or I'm a king's son. So, son, I don't know what's going to happen to us. We're just going to have to trust the Lord. Can you imagine Daniel? And then Nebuchadnezzar comes into the city. And we don't know what actually happened. But more than likely, he slew everybody of the kingly line and of the princely line, except for the best of the best, well-favored, without blemish, of which one was Daniel. And the only thing Daniel had to claim was that he tried to do the right things growing up. And for that, he studied growing up. And for that, and because he learned to read and write growing up, and for that, he was selected be taken into a foreign land. He was first privileged, and then he was plundered. Now let me ask you this question. How would we do if we were plundered? You're a young Daniel. You're a young Isaac. you're young David, and you're taken captive. Now I want you to just notice what this plundering meant. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and this is verse 4, and understanding science, and such had an ability in them to stand in the king's palace. So he chose people that did their homework. So if America gets taken over, you better do your homework if you want to survive, according to this verse. Notice, if you would, in verse 4, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now notice what plundering meant. Number one, it meant a new tongue. You're all going to have to learn a new language. You can forget your old language. It'll never be used again. You're going to learn Chaldean. On top of that, wait a minute, I'm going to change your name. It's not going to be Rio, it's going to be Shadrach. It's not going to be Isaac, it's going to be Belteshazzar. You no longer have family. Your family's gone. Either they're dead or you never see them again. It is never recorded that Daniel ever saw his family again. More than likely, because of who they were all slain. So that there would be no uprising. Can you imagine being a child of privilege like all of us, and then all of a sudden being plundered and losing it all? Losing even the very language that you used. Losing your name. Losing your God. Losing everything. No more brothers and sisters. They're all gone. No more family. Now let me ask you this question. Ladies in this room, if your husband was slain and you were taken captive. Men in this room, if you were your wife was slain and you were taken captive. Young people in this room, your parents were slain, your brothers and sisters were slain, and you were taken captive. Let me ask you this. What would your character be like then? What would God mean to you then? What would your God mean to you then? Daniel was a young man of privilege, but while he was growing up as a young man of privilege, he thought through all that he was taught and said, you know what? I know there's a God and I want him for my own. Daniel trusted the Lord as his own growing up. And it was no longer religion, it was real to him. And what he was taught was real to him. And even though he lost everything, he didn't lose one thing: his faith in the Lord. Now let me ask you tonight. We're all in this room, we're people of privilege. But if you lose your job and the old devil plunders your life and you maybe lose a house and lose this and lose that and you really have a struggle, are you going to give up on life? Could God still use you? Would he be willing to because of your heart? I noticed that Daniel lost all of his possessions. I'm sure Daniel had some favorite clothes. Oh, they were all taken away and given new clothes. A style like he had never seen before. Maybe it would all be made to wear pink ties. I don't know. Or everybody being wearing a lime green shirt. Everybody's required. I don't know what it is, but I can guarantee he didn't look at it and say, oh, that's cool. He looked at the Babylonian attire and said, oh. And then, remember, he was a child of privilege. He didn't give an account to many people, just his parents, maybe the king. But now, verse number 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Notice, if you would, excuse me, down verse number 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. And he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So he had a man directly over him. In other words, he had a taskmaster. First time in his life, he had somebody that was over him that told him what to do. You get up at this time, you do this, you do that. What would be our attitude toward that? Daniel had a prince of the eunuch over him that changed his name, changed his dress, changed his food, changed his religion, changed his study habits, and changed his family and said, now you will do this. How many of us would be usable by God in those circumstances? And Daniel had something in his heart, and this is the whole gist of the message tonight. I want all of us in this room to have some conviction in our heart that's ours. The Lord is mine. I want to talk to him. I want to spend time with the Lord every day, myself. I want to find a place where I can get alone. I want to spend time with you, Lord, because you're important to me. He had a conviction that was in his heart. Now, in his conviction, according to his religion, that he would not eat certain meats and he wouldn't drink wine and he wouldn't do these things. And so he didn't want to offend his God. So now he's got, what am I going to do? I have no authority here. What would you do if things are being forced down you that you no longer believe in? What would you die for? What would you say, it's not worth living if I have to do this? Daniel, as a teenage boy, we don't know how old he is, 16, 15, 19. Everybody pretty well believes he's a teenage boy, but something's in his heart that's real. It's his beliefs. And you know what? I want to challenge you tonight to have your beliefs that are from God's word. It's why you won't lie. It's why you won't talk about your parents. It's why you won't cheat in school. Even though everybody else does to get a better grade, you will not do it because of the conviction that's in your heart. Other young people maybe get together and hang out, and there are certain things that they do you will not be a part of because it's in your heart for your God. You're here tonight. Other men and women are doing things at work that they ought not to do, talking about things they ought not, and you will not be a part of it because of your personal conviction. It's not because you come to temple necessarily. It's because of who you are, a child of the God of heaven. And he's important to you. And that's the whole point of verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or the wine which he drank. It was against his conviction. So you know what he did? And listen very carefully. He was very wise as a young man. He had some things in his life I cannot do because of my God. I cannot do this. I cannot curse because I don't want my God to be disappointed with me. I cannot lie and cheat. I can't do those things. They're just not in my heart. What's in your heart tonight? What have you purposed in your heart that will not happen? Men, what have you purposed in your heart about your marriage? What have you purposed in your heart? Women, what have you purposed in your heart? No matter what happens, I've purposed in my heart. Young people, what have you purposed in your heart? You got to have something. It's the anchor of life. Daniel's lost everything. But he didn't lose the purpose in his heart. The something that caused him to get up every morning. Because he was God's child and he wanted to please the Lord. There was a purpose in his heart. Now, I want you to notice this. He was a young man of privilege. He was plundered, but he didn't give up his purpose. And would you give up your purpose? What would it take for the old devil to put you under to give up your purpose? Look what he did to Job. He put him under great stress. God blessed him. He was a man of privilege. He was plundered, but he didn't give up his purpose. Do you understand tonight that God loves us, and as his children, God is going to bless us, and there's going to come times whenever the old devil is going to plunder us. And then what's in us is going to come out. What's purposed in us? What we truly believe. You get to college, some of you, getting ready to go to college, and maybe you go to college and the other kids are out having a good time and going doing this and going do that, and you got a test. Are you going to be a young person of character enough to say, I'm not going, I'm staying, I'm going to study? The guys at work, they're going to go out and go to the bar and drink, and you say, I'm not going, I don't believe in that. What is the purpose in your heart? How far will you go when the old devil puts you in a position of plunder where you've lost a lot of your anchors? Will the one anchor of purpose stand? He believed the Lord and trusted him and said, Lord, I'm going to do your will. Now, I want you to notice the way he handled this. I want you to see this. Notice his purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. In other words, what did he do? What does it mean to purpose in your heart? He had made up his mind what was real to him. He had made up his mind what he could do and could not do, and it was final. And so then, notice if you would, in verse number 8, he purposed in his heart. It didn't say that he said, "I'll go to this prince of the eunuchs and ask him if I can do this." And then if he says, "Okay," then that'll be my position. No, he purposed first. When I got married, I purposed first that Susan would be the only girl in the world for me. Period. It was a purpose. And even though you're tempted, men, women, with other people of the opposite sex, their purpose is still firm. I promised. It's what you live on. Because you want to please him. There's a purpose. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, he says he purposed first that he would not defile himself. Then he requested of the prince. Did you notice he didn't demand? He didn't go in and say, look, you don't understand who you're talking to. I'm a young man of privilege. I came from Jerusalem, and you can't make us, beat us, kick us to do what's wrong. We don't believe it's right to drink this wine and eat this food, and we're not doing it. Now take that. I can just picture Daniel got down and he prayed and he said, Lord, I don't know what to do. There were no counselors to ask. There was no uncle to go to. There was no father to go to. There was no mother to go to. There was no one. But he could get down on his knees and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But in my heart, there's this strong conviction that I must do to please you. I can't drink of this wine. I can't eat this food. Lord, I want to please you. What do I do? And God said, Daniel, go request of him. Go ask him if he'd allow something. Now keep in mind, does anybody know how long this special treatment for Daniel was going to last before he came before the king? Notice if you would, in verse number 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So how long did they have? 3 years. So Daniel wasn't foolish and said, look, I'm not going to eat this for the next 3 years. I'm not going to touch it. He said, let me ask you a question. Could I ask of you to give me vegetables and water for the next 10 days? Would you just let me try that and see if I don't look as good as everybody else? I don't want you to get in trouble, but would you grant me the privilege so that I in my heart, I have some real strong beliefs, and I don't want to damage those. Would you allow me to have vegetables and water for just 10 days? Notice what he says in verse number 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. You know whose idea it was to get bread and water for 10 days so that he could keep his conviction? It was Daniel's. But I can guarantee you, if you could read in between the Hebrew lines here, there was much prayer going on. Folks, if you're going to have purpose, it's got to be prayer bathed. If you're going to have purpose and conviction in your heart, it's going to have to be something that you've prayed about and you've asked God to help you to keep that. It's not going to be just something you make up your mind about and sticks. It's something that the Holy Spirit of God helped you stand up and do because it is right and you want to please the Lord. When I've read Fox's Book of Mortars and I've seen people that were going to be burnt at the stake and they were tied around a stake and the bushes were putting around them and they're getting ready to light it on fire, and they would ask us, would you let me prove to my Lord that I love him? Would you untie me? I can't do that. Would you just please let me prove I love the Lord? I'll just stand here and burn to death because I love him. I can guarantee you they would have said, Lord, I love you and I want you to help me. Lord, would you give me strength? Your Holy Spirit, would you fill me with your spirit that I might be able to stand and take this great torment? Notice, if you would, verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now today, how many of us would give up our convictions to not be in trouble? How many of us would lie or cheat to get a better grade? That's the test of your character. How many of you do things at work with the guys to be in the group? Daniel is a young man of privilege, and so are we. What could you go without? Could you go without your nice clothes and take stuff that's not so nice? Could you go without your nice vehicle and get something that's a beater? Could you give it all up and still purpose in your heart? Tonight, just a simple question. We are people of privilege. We haven't yet been plundered, but if we are, would you still keep your purpose? Tonight, if Daniel had failed here, we would not have the rest of the book. And there are some things in this book that will thrill your heart that God asked him to write. There is a reason that God said to two people on earth, his son and to Daniel, oh, greatly beloved. Tonight, I'd like for all of us to be greatly beloved because of what we believe in our heart. What we're willing to do, even if plundered. Tonight, what have you purposed? Lord, I want to pass out tracts. I want to share the gospel with people. Lord, I want to pray for our missionaries. Lord, I want to pray for people. Lord, I want to give to missions. I want to, and there are things that you do because it's in your purpose. Lord, I want to read your word every day. Lord, I want to pray for all of our missionaries every month. Lord, you've got some purpose about you. What is it? And when you get busy, are you willing to keep your purpose? When you get challenged, plundered, are you willing to keep your purpose? Tonight, when I look at Daniel, I think about, why did God give him the answer to dreams? Because he was such a young man of purpose, he could trust him. Why did, later on in Daniel chapter 6, his new king, why was it every time a new king took over, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Why was it Daniel was always elevated, even though he was a foreigner? Because of his purpose, because of his character. They could always trust him. And I'll close with this thought. In Daniel chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. Verse 2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them and the king should have no damage. You know what it's saying? He won't steal a dime from me out of my taxes. Daniel was elevated because he was supremely honest. But you know why it was? Because it was his purpose. It was his character. Tonight, I want all of us to have purpose because of him. If it's because of him, it won't change. If it's because you were taught it as a child, it could change. But if it gets into your heart because of him, it's something you believe and you purpose it in your heart. You have decided and it's yours. It'll stand. Tonight, what have you purposed? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. As we get into one of the most exciting books in all the Word of God, have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to do what's right? Have you decided? Have you purposed? Lord, I'm going to be pure till I get married. Lord, I've purposed. I'm going to stay pure. I'm married. Lord, I'm going to be honest. I'm never going to take somebody else's dime. Lord, I'm going to stay close to you. What is your purpose? We're going to have a word of prayer and just stand to sing. Maybe you need to come tonight and reaffirm your purpose. Maybe you need to broaden your purpose. Maybe you need to establish your purpose. There's a God in heaven that loves you. But I want you to know this, the test is going to be on its way to see if your purpose is real, if it's firm, if it's deep-seated, if it's because of the Lord. Lord Jesus, tonight, would you speak to our hearts? Thank you for Daniel and his example. Lord, I thank you. You had Daniels all throughout the Bible. Lord, help me to be one like those so that I can be pleasing to you. Lord, bless our people tonight. Give us a deep-seated, strong purpose that pleases you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's